individualist, I think, but purely by nature and reaction to circumstances. From then on, I was an individualist by design. And even if the idea of not accepting anything you cannot prove does not seem new to you, recognize how easy it is to discard it in practice when you actually come about accepting things in life. The desire for answers can lead you to accept things that do sound right, because after all, it does require a lot of energy, a lot of time to construct your own philosophy, to think it out completely, so you naturally will look for shortcuts. And getting back to David Curry, when I asked him how he could practice this philosophy, when he obviously couldn't prove it for himself because it was that kind of a philosophy, he answered, "Don't worry about me. No matter what anyone else in life seems to accept, it has to be the truth to you." And there was no individual in life that I respected more than this man at that time, and yet he was telling me, for me, not to worry about what he did, because that really wasn't important. What was important is, what is the truth to me? Now, this is another sage piece of advice that can be lost so easily in practice. No matter who is offering the conclusions, if you cannot make the logical connection in your mind that gives it the status of truth, then just don't take it. Maybe the other person is right, but until it's been proven to you, his rightness is meaningless. I've appreciated Barbara Wiegand's attitude toward my course and other educational sources to which she's been exposed. I'm going to paraphrase several remarks of hers that have covered a period of time in one simple statement, and I hope I'm not misquoting her. I would sum up the attitude I have gleaned from her as simply this: I may not have all the answers, but that doesn't mean I have to accept yours. And that combination of humility and skepticism will keep the individual solidly on the track. So you can't answer every question. That still is no reason to blindly accept somebody else's answer until it actually makes the logical connection in your mind. So keep your guard up. Remember whose life is at stake in all of this. Yours. You must decide what acts will be beneficial to you, what code of conduct will work for you. Even if you somehow come to accept someone else's code of conduct or someone else's ideas on the subject, you have to accept these ideas one at a time, weighing each one as it comes to you. Now, the reason you're here, for example, is because there is a similarity in values between us. Perhaps you have decided that it is more likely to you that you'll get useful ideas here than you would someplace else, but you're still going to have to evaluate the ideas each one at a time. It is simply that you find sources of ideas that are more fruitful than other sources. So you conserve more of your resources by spending your time there, getting maybe ideas that 70% of will fit, rather than going someplace else where the return might be only 5 or 10%. But never should this lead you to accept in toto what someone else says. Remember, I am not you, and neither is anyone else. So challenge what you see if it doesn't fit. Have it out with me, or at least have it out with yourself until you get an answer that does make sense. Be humble, but don't let your humility cause you to cower before someone else who says that he has all the answers. So here we go. And I think we can organize this material usefully into three main areas of your code of conduct. These are your relationship to physical reality, your relationship to yourself, and your relationship to other people. Now, the first of these three areas will be our least concern here, because there's a whole body of knowledge that has been organized and presented elsewhere much more competently than I could ever hope to do. This area, of course, the first one, involves your relationship to the physical laws of nature that affect you. The physical sciences are a world of inquiry, and my only reason for listing this here is to simply recognize that this is a part of your basis for action. But I'm not going to begin, and I'm certainly not competent to try to identify and explain all these various laws of nature that I believe exist as they relate to the physical universe. Even if you are dealing with a subjective perception by yourself and others that you respect, you are still going to have to act. And this action will have to be based upon some understanding of the physical nature of the universe. So you will accept the most likely findings, even if they are tentative, awaiting future discoveries. The standard always, as we saw last week, is what works. Does my view of reality translate itself into action where I get predictable results?